Down the Foxhole is a podcast where we get real candid, real funny, and real weird on a weekly basis. I'm Casey Taylor.
And I'm Erin Fabio. The Foxhole is a space to inspire and give permission to each other to start that business, keep working towards that dream, or totally switch gears and take the big risks to reap the big reward.
We're big believers that there's no one size fits all and that each of our stories is unique and worth sharing. So
let's go down the foxhole.
Going to keep this intro a little bit on the short side since our amazing interview with Becky at Take Care Shop went for so long.
We're
so excited for you guys to hear from her. If you don't know who she is already, she has she used to have a small boutique shop called Be Clean.
It was like a pop-up almost.
She turned it into a beauty retail shop in Georgetown, and it's so beautiful, and she carries really awesome brands. And her story and all of her insights are just really incredible, and I'm so excited for you guys to listen. So we'll keep this quick.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys to listen to this. Full disclosure, she is one of my local grit clients. So not only do I love her as a client, but I just genuinely really, really love her brand and working with her and learning more about her story. And you guys, new little treat time. We have a really cool gift with purchase that comes along with Becky's episode. So anyone who is listening to this, you can go to takecareshopdc.com or you can go to the brick and mortar store in Georgetown and you'll receive a deluxe fall sample bag with any purchase. If you're purchasing online, you just mention it in the notes and they'll send one along with you. And if you're in store, just mention the podcast at the register and they will get you a cool little gift with purchase.
So fun, you guys. Take advantage of this.
Yeah, for sure. Enjoy this episode. She is super fun.
Alrighty.
Welcome to the Foxhole, Becky.
I'm so excited to talk to you today.
So many questions for Becky today, you guys. So we are here with Becky, who owns a lovely, lovely natural beauty and wellness brand and a shop in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. called Take Care.
Like the most beautiful shop ever.
It's like walking into a sanctuary.
It's so pretty.
Everything's like bright, white, and peaceful. And the first time I met Becky, I was like, is this what your house looks like too?
I wish.
So yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Of course, of course. So can you just give a little intro about you and about your company?
Sure. So I'm Becky Waddell. I'm the founder of Take Care. We're a natural skincare and lifestyle shop located in D.C. And we're really all about having a compassionate approach to self-care and skincare and beauty and really using those tools to improve and enhance your life versus having a really like negative experience with, you know, trying to look a certain way or what have you. And so we also focus on wellness in general. Cool. So kind of trying to take a full circle approach to beauty and wellness with a really compassionate vibe, sense of community, recognizing that we're sort of all in this together. So
love that.
I love that. Yeah, I can tell that you have a focus on community because your events always look so awesome.
And they are everyone's so much fun. And it's like people are excited to come and meet other people, which is, I don't know, I'm such an introvert. And so I like creating the space and not, I don't know, I'm of my own accord, don't just go to events by myself.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to see other people do that and know that they're going to meet somebody that they, you know, share values with or experiences, that kind of thing. So
that's so funny you say that because we're like really into like the typing of stuff. So like Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder or like I'll take any quiz to find out like what deodorant I need to use or whatever.
What was one that we took with Shizu?
Dojas?
Doshas.
We did doshas. Shockingly, I'm like...
That was really fun, too.
Whatever the shit stirrer one is, the fire one. That's me. anyway, it's funny that you say that, because, like, did you even, like, being an introvert, when you created Take Care, did you even, like, think about that aspect, or did it just kind of, like, happen, you were like, oh, that's cool?
When we had Be Clean, so before we had Take Care, we had our teeny tiny, like 100 square foot studio. And it was just like kind of a little showroom, but I would have clients come and have really one-on-one conversations with people about their needs and their preferences and things going on in their lives. And it really became more conversational than social. I don't really, I'm trying to think of a good way to like define that, but our relationships with our clients are so intimate. I never feel like anyone's a stranger when they walk in my door. I think that we've structured the space in a way that is so personal and welcoming that it's never, people don't walk in and feel like they're being talked to by the retail staff. You know, it's we've invited them in, they're our welcome guest, and we're happy to have them there. And so, it's always been so comfortable and intimate with them that it hasn't been an issue. Now, if I try to go somewhere else, a wallflower.
That's so funny. I love that. Okay, so before we dive into everything, just a couple fun questions for you. So, who's your celebrity crush?
Zooey Deschanel.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, I love her. Girl. I love Jessica Day so much.
I could like listen to her talk forever.
Yeah, she's just got such a fun vibe and she's so sweet. I was trying to think of a hunk, but I.
So just by saying the word hunk, you win. I love it. what do you always have to have in your purse or handbag or what bag? We can't figure out what to call that word.
Yes, I need a list of things that I need to keep in my bag. That's what nice. Because I am always like, I don't have a lip balm, or I forgot my wallet or my ID. I'm like that absolute worst with handbags, especially with a toddler. It's like her favorite thing to do is like take stuff out of my bag.
Oh, so like, true.
I'll get to the grocery store and be like, well, don't have a debit card.
Oh, no.
Somewhere.
Lily, stop it. Yeah.
Oh, your daughter's name is Lily. I love that
Lily.
Name.
Yes.
She's adorable.
Yeah. She's so sweet.
She was an owl for Halloween.
Oh, my God. No. That's so cute.
No owl. Yeah. She looked more like a cloud or like a pillow or a chicken. But... you know, that's my mom made her costume.
Oh,
it was so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I love it.
This might be a trick question because I'm finding that lots and lots of very busy people don't have time to read. But if you are reading anything, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading. Actually, what am I reading? I'm reading books to Lily at night.
Yeah. Good night, Moon. So. Things like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Lots of rhyming and what sound does a dog make?
Very important lessons, of course.
Nothing overly intellectual right now.
Totally. What was your first concert?
NSYNC.
Yes, I am loving that. Everyone we talk to is boy band.
Meanwhile, I went to Jewel.
Yeah, emotional Casey went to Jewel.
Oh, nice.
I was like 10 years old and I like begged my mom. She had no idea who she was. I was like, I begged her to go to Jewel. We went.
She also changed her name from Casey, C-A-S-E-Y to Casey, K-A-Y-C-E-E.
That was in my later years of independence.
It's just like, both of those things like really just like get you though, you know, wrap you up in a nice little black bow.
Jewel Pieces of You tour.
And emotion.
My hands are, what is that?
That's her second album.
My hands are.
But that's like probably her, like maybe most popular, but Pieces of Me was her first album. And it's like.
Look how serious she is.
Yeah, she's very serious.
That was Who Saves Your, not Who Saves You, Who Will Save Your Soul was Pieces of Me.
What Will Save Your Soul? Nothing.
And. No. A lot of it's like poetry to music, but I was like very into it.
Well, I'm into her book for that reason. That's what you should
her
read,
book
Becky.
Is so good.
Not that you're the Jewel fan, she
Never
is.
Broken. Oh my God.
So she writes this, it's like her life is very interesting actually. It's like she grew up in Alaska and had this like crazy family life. But her book is like her life story with like lyrics woven in.
It's so beautiful.
It's cool.
I love that book.
Okay, yes. When Lily graduates from high school.
Yes. I'm 18 years old, I'll send you that book. Which we'll probably be reading in, like, holograms on the walls by then, but whatever.
In our contact lenses.
Yeah.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, yes. that's what they're saying is, like, your contact lenses will essentially, like, or, like, you'll wear a contact lens if your eyes are perfect. I'm jealous, but in your phone will, like, pop up in your eyeballs. You won't have a physical phone. It'll just be, like...
And then your eyes like pop out of your brain. I'm not doing it. Anyway.
No.
Okay. Back to you.
I just want to like three as different it muscles. Is. Like, yeah. I don't need to be any more like intertwined with my body.
I know, no. It's all very creepy. All right. So let's talk about you. Okay. So when you were growing up, what'd you want to be?
I was thinking about this. I think that I wanted to be a teacher.
Hmm.
We used to play teacher, and now I have lots of friends who are teachers, and I'm very thankful I'm not a teacher.
Stressful, yeah.
But their job is incredible and so, like, just invaluable. I think when you're young, you don't have any idea.
No. You just want an overhead projector and markers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Projectors.
For sure.
Do they still have those?
I hope so.
Oh my god.
I don't know if they do. Yeah, I'm sure they do. It's been a few years since I've been in a classroom.
I used to love being the note taker on like on top of the projector.
Yeah.
You would like write with those really cool markers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Projector marker.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I think that's what I wanted to be. There's an element of like teaching and helping in what we do, but yeah, definitely not a teacher. Happy to not be and appreciate them and do everything I can to support them. But I'm cut out for teacher life.
So how did Be Clean / Take Care come to be? Like, you were not always in the beauty industry. So sort of give us that sort of that path and how you got there.
Yeah, so I was vegan for 5 years. I was really constantly reading labels and really interested in ingredients and stuff. And so I found that it was a challenge to find vegan products in one place. Mm-hmm. Vegan and natural products, I think there's a distinction for sure. There are plenty of products that are vegan that are not natural or not toxic or anything.
Are you vegan dietary as well?
I used to be, but I'm not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I was diagnosed with celiac disease a few years ago, and after that, I changed my diet quite significantly for the better. But every once in a while, get that feeling of like, I really want to go back to that. I hate not eating vegan. I feel very guilty. And so I would like to not feel guilty about my diet. Guilt around food is never a good thing, but that's a whole other discussion. I was vegan for a long time, and that constantly reading labels and like learning about ingredients. And I found that it was hard to find something all in one place that was attractive. You know, it's easy to go to like Whole Foods or whatever, but it didn't feel so special. And I will say, like, I'm not a trendy person at all. I don't pay much attention to trends. And I didn't really realize what I was walking into 5 years ago, to be perfectly honest with you. We opened our little 100-square-foot studio. We had 10 brands, maybe. I mean, it was just a small number of brands. Almost everything was ordered from Etsy, and now, like, some of those brands are some of the biggest brands in natural beauty, period, like Herbivore Botanicals. Like, we're ordering, you know, quantity 2 of, you know, face oils and things from their Etsy shop, and they were still, like, printing their labels from home.
So fun.
And now they're, you know, one of the biggest natural beauty brands in the world. And so we didn't quite know what we were walking into, but we found this little studio, and it just became like a really sweet little spot where people could come explore, they could come learn more about products, they could share their stories with us. And for most people, like, skincare is not that easy. It's a conversation. It's like explaining, well, I have dry skin, but I also have this other thing. I also have autoimmune, or I'm also really stressed, or I have acne scarring or whatever, and all these different things about our lives flow into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really learned in those 2 years that people were looking for more of a conversational experience than just a place to buy a product. And people really wanted to be able to touch and feel and smell in person. And right now, still with Green Beauty, you have to do so much of that online.
Mm-hmm.
And so when kind of the time came to pick a path forward, it was kind of like, go go big or go home. And I think it's been a really, really cool thing to see how it's you know, transitioned from this very small niche thing to something that most people are talking about now. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how it transitioned from being really small to what it is now. We're still really small, but not 100 square feet.
You're making some big moves.
How did you find clients in the beginning when you were just like a small studio?
So word of mouth was the first one, and that's still always like our, you know, our most favorite way. If our clients share us with somebody else, we appreciate it so much. But then, you know, a lot of people, like I said, were looking online for things, and so they would find us. It was easier to find, you know, sort through things even 5 years ago on
Right.
We were probably easier to find then than we are now. But yeah, it was that. And then, you know, our brands would like refer people to us if they were trying to find a location. Now and then we were still usually the only stockist for most of our brands in the whole of the DMV. Mm-hmm. So, they would often find us that way. And then we did lots of pop-ups. And so we were always at pop-ups, and we have people that met us. We would go to New York for pop-ups, which was really fun. And we still have clients that met us at this tiny vegan food pop-up 5 years ago that will either order for us from online or come to the shop when they're in D.C. And it's just so cool. So much loyalty and so much engagement, and people really stick with us, which is awesome.
That's so interesting, because I didn't realize that you had kind of it's almost like you tested the market before, like, going big, which is so crazy because it's so huge now.
Yeah.
Yes, it's funny. I don't think at the time I realized that that's what I was doing. I also don't think I realized that we would be doing what we're doing today. I could lie and say, yes, totally. We were testing the market and doing all kinds of research and analysis. And really, we were just doing, you know, the best that we could at the time. And, you know, we're just trying our hand at entrepreneurship. And then once I got a taste of it, I was like, well, okay, we can't just close up. We've got to do better and more and really be the resource that people in D.C. need.
For sure.
And how long were you in the smaller studio space before you opened Take Care?
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. And what were you doing before that?
Oh, my gosh. So we moved here from Oregon. I have a Master of Public Policy degree. So does my husband. And we moved here for policy careers. And I really discovered when I got here that I didn't enjoy the process of policy in D.C. It was... I'm very introverted, like I said, and it's, you know, it's a very intense place. It's an intense place to work no matter what you do. And I found myself in nonprofit work, which was a weird pace for me. And things just you could never really see anything through, and because things just changed so quickly.
Yeah.
And, we moved there to D.C. from Oregon, where I was doing like really intimate community level work on science communication and environmental communication. And it just wasn't something that I thought, you know, I could do this for 5 years. I think D.C. would have chewed me up and spit me out had I stayed in environmental policy. And so I worked on a few different things. I worked in mindfulness. I worked in some retail experiences. And actually, it's there that I saw the sort of entrepreneurial spirit in D.C. Coming from a house that wasn't, you know, we were not rich by any stretch of the imagination. I never had it in my brain that I could just start a business. That to me was always like something for, you know, like rich people or huge corporations were the only companies that could have businesses. I don't really know how that businesses got started, but it was after spending time around women and other, you know, people in general running their own businesses in D.C. that were young, just excited and really, really willing to hustle, that really got me like mentally prepared and kind of opened those doors to be like, oh, wow, maybe I could do this.
That's cool.
I love that.
Yeah. And like, from, I mean, I kind of grew up in the same way that, like, you know, you could be, like, a thing, right? Like, you could be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher or whatever. It wasn't really, like, a thought to do, like, a creative service or whatever. So from, like, a financial standpoint, how did you navigate, like, taking on a brick and mortar is, like, a lot of overhead. So, like, who did you sort of seek out at the very beginning to sort of work through those things? And, you know, are you self-funded? Have you taken any, have you raised any capital? Like, what's sort of your pathway been like there?
It's a lot of different things. And it's finding advice on financials. I mean, you can ask 10 different people and you'll get 10 different responses.
Totally.
And so, yeah, we haven't raised capital, but we are interested in growing in the future. And so I have no idea what the future will hold for us. It's incredible as a small business. The world is your oyster and you can do anything you want. And, you know, we're just trying to figure out like what the right path is for us and our clients and our community to just serve them as best we can.
That's cool. So talk to us about the first year of, I guess it was Be Clean. If you want to talk about them as one brand or two brands, whatever, like your real first year of starting this business, like what did that look like? And sort of like, what were you surprised was like easier than you thought it would be? And what was like your real struggle that you were like, holy shit, how am I going to do this?
Well, yeah, Be Clean is that it's so many years ago. It's so small, so different. I would say like our first year is Take Care. I mean, we're only a year and a few months old. We just had our first birthday.
So cool.
And so in our first year, wow, have we learned a lot. I think that opening a brick and mortar retail store has taught me to, I mean, it's to be patient, to expect delays, to expect and assume that things won't go the way you think they're going to go. You know, it helps you like keep your cool as things move down the line, and in the future, you know, it doesn't feel as terrifying when you aren't going to meet a deadline, or you know, your contractor's not going to meet a deadline, or what have you. But it teaches you to be so much more flexible, and to not have super strong expectations about how everything should be, because the nature of having a space that is inherently for other people means that, you know, they're going to interpret and experience what you offer in their own way. And so you put your best foot forward and try to be as responsive as possible, and you kind of learn as you go. So, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. And then also just that community in DC is incredible. You know, we've started this feature, Take Care Tuesdays, on our Instagram that is featuring just our clients, not like influencers or whatever. And it's just amazing to see everybody be like, oh, I met her at an event, or, you know, she's so sweet, she introduced me to this product or whatever. You know, people are really seeking that opportunity to connect here. And it's really fun to be a part of. So our goal is just listen and learn from that and continue to offer opportunities for people to engage that way.
I love that.
So cool.
So when you feel deflated or frustrated or defeated, like what do you do personally to kind of like reset and like, you know, recharge?
That is so hard. I will say that being a business owner, you will go from being really excited about something to like, holy crud.
Toddler mom.
What am I going to do? And that can happen in an hour. I always feel like if I get really good news, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get too excited because I have a feeling in 20 minutes I'm going to get a phone call. I'm going to change that. So, you know, you kind of get used to like moving on from things a little quicker than maybe I did before. But if I'm really bothered by something, I usually just try to take the time and sit with those feelings. I think there's such a culture of like, all right, like get up, move on, like try not to dwell on it. but I sometimes find that dwelling on it for a little longer and like sitting with it and understanding where those feelings are coming from helps me figure out a way that to move forward through something. And so I think that's true in life and in business ownership is like try to appreciate where that feeling is coming from and give it the time that it deserves. Because I often find that when I reply to something too quickly or, you know, I try to just kind of just quickly move from it, I end up going, well, I wish I would have thought of this or I wish I would have said this or responded differently. And so, and sometimes I feel like it just takes a day. We had a day like that actually last week where I was just down in the dumps and was really concerned and I just couldn't shake it. And that was okay. I mean, some days are like that. And then I woke up and I was like, I think it's going to be all right.
I mean, that's great perspective, though. I think, do you meditate?
I don't. I'm not a good meditator. I was in mindfulness for a long time, and I never really got into meditation. I tried. It just has never quite been for me. But I am someone who has had anxiety in the past, and pretty bad anxiety. And one of the things that I learned is just to just talk about it and write about it. And for me, I think that's like a good sub for meditation. It's
that totally counts as like
okay, validation here, people. Journaling is like my meditation just doesn't like I'll do it and I can focus pretty well, but I don't feel any better or like I'm more focused for the day or whatever. But after I like journal or get it all out, I'm like, okay, now I feel like I can move on. And like, or I get the juices flowing.
Well, I think it's more about being in a meditative state than it is like doing traditional meditation. Like running is like the best meditation for me ever. And it's not about like listening to an, like I do meditations because they do help me sometimes, but like the best is running.
Pounding pavement.
And some people just have different meditative states, I think.
I think too that it just helps to know, like if you're bothered by something and what you need to do is think through it, then that's great. Then find something that can help you do that. If you're somebody who feels responds positively to physical, you know, exercise, then do that. And
praise you.
So, you know, whatever helps you, I think there's no like one size fits all.
For sure, for sure. Let's talk about beauty.
Wait. I have a question.
Or not.
I have a selfish question about being an entrepreneur and a mother because I am 800 years pregnant right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But what are kind of your, what is your best advice to first time or new moms who are also own their own business?
Because just remember, Becky's open, take care. Had a baby and like, you know, has conquered the world in less than 2 years. So I don't know how you're still standing
This is why I'm asking her.
I was texting my contractor while in labor. Lily was 2 months old when we opened the shop. My first piece of advice would be don't do that. don't open a brick and mortar. What?
I'm so impressed.
Was that like the plan?
She was 8 weeks old when you opened the shop. Wow, that's
so
amazing.
Were you like on a track with like the store, or were you like on the baby track, and these things just happened to happen, or were you like, I think it'd be a really good idea to open the store right while I have a baby?
It took we looked for a long time for a space, and that space was the only space that we felt like was an expression of what Take Care stood for. And so we kind of looked at it for a while, sat on it. It picked up a different deal. And so for a while it was off the market, and then that deal fell through. And then we finally figured out how to make it work. And so that at that point I was pregnant. And, you know, it's one of those things you can't, there's no schedule. There's no good time. It's
ever.
Like, I don't think that was the best time to have a baby and start a store, but you know, it's such is life. And it was challenging. And I think what I have tried to say to first time moms who are also entrepreneurs too, is like, you know, really protect those first few weeks and first few months, even because you won't get them back, and you will be like so tired and so happy and all these really intense emotions, and you should be able to just experience them without having to run a business. I think there are maybe some people who thrive in that kind of environment, but I really wanted to just enjoy those months and not be bothered. I also had a C-section, and so that really complicated things that made me pretty bedridden for a while. But I think that now, as she's gotten older, she's 17 months now, she's a toddler, and she's been so active and alert and awake and a little bit of a handful ever since she was born. But now that, I mean, she's been walking for 5 months, and you know, now I have to be really mindful about being present when I'm with her. And so we've started to, like, I go to the office to do work. It's not that I'm not kind of always doing work, but at least when I'm here, I can sit down, focus, get tasks done, and then go home and be more present and available to her. And I think that whatever way that you structure your family life, your work life, making sure that you are present when you're with your kids is the most important thing. Because I was looking back the other day, thinking about like an important milestone. I'm like, I don't remember that exact moment. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that I thought I would remember. But it's because my attention is kind of always pulled in five different directions. Mm-hmm. And so as she gets older, I'm quite a bit more mindful of that. And now that's kind of what I say to first time moms.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always so impressed with, you're very honest and candid to your community on Instagram, sort of like when you go through a moment like that or a struggle. And I remember one time you were talking about, like, details are not my forte, so I'm going to really paraphrase this, but you're saying something about how you were kind of feeling down about, like, your makeup or like how you were looking or something, and you didn't want that to reflect onto Lily and kind of like how you present beauty to your daughter and sort of the mentality about that. So I'm always very, I don't have any kids, but like, it's just, it feels good even for me to be like, I can identify with that.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing. I guess that when I got into natural skincare, I never thought of myself as being in the beauty industry. It was not until starting Take Care that, like, opening Take Care and understanding how much we shop for makeup, because we didn't have much makeup at Be Clean. There weren't that many brands that were able to work with me at the time. And so it's now one of those ever-present things. Her favorite thing is to play with my makeup. She doesn't, like, put it on, but she'll, like, put a brush on her face and stuff. And those are things that they start to internalize so, so early. And so there were some really wise women that responded to that post, and they were like, you know, we don't talk about physical beauty in front of our daughter. We never, you know, kind of talk about her body or anything like that, because those messages will just be coming from everywhere else. Yeah. The last thing is that they is to have her parents, you know, direct them at her. Yeah. And so try to be really conscious of that. And now she's talking and mimicking us. And, you know, I think I could get away with some disparaging commenting about myself, but not anymore.
Right.
So it's an interesting that it's like, you have to be more compassionate to yourself as well.
Yeah.
Not just to them.
It's interesting. 'Cause we actually, I mean, first of all, being a mom to girls is, like, challenge. Being a girl, growing up as a girl, knowing how tough I was, and my sisters, and, like, all that kind of stuff. And, like, one of my sisters has two little girls, and the first girl, they're both beautiful, but the first one, when she came along, I mean, she's just, like, a striking little girl, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful, your hair's so pretty, you're so gorgeous all the time. And so it kind of became, like, a policy in our family that, like, you're so kind, you're such a sweet person, you're so, like, it's not, because she just gets that everywhere. And, like, let me tell you, she's almost five now, and, like, she knows she's pretty. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's so easy to be like, hey, pretty girl, instead of, like, hey, sweet girl.
Yeah, exactly. No, totally. It's so true. And even people would always compliment Lily when she was a little tiny baby. They'd be like, oh my, she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she is such a cheese. Like, she knows people are complimenting her, and she has since she was really little.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys have to stop. Like, you're going to give her a compliment.
Give her an ego here.
Exactly. So it's so nice to feel beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with telling a girl she's beautiful and embracing her, and we're all beautiful and all of that. But I think we have to also make sure that we're reminding them that they're more than just pretty.
Yes.
Right? So
I love your messages.
Yes, I love that.
Becky, Becky's corner.
It's fine.
Lots of emotions here. I dare you to make Casey cry during this episode. Challenge accepted.
Did you, I don't know if you saw my Instagram post, but the other day, I was really sick. I woke up really sick at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I took that as a challenge. I'm like, challenge accepted. I was really sick. I was crying, and I was in the bathroom crying with the door closed, so Lily wouldn't hear me, so I wouldn't wake her up. But I heard her wake up. She starts crying, and you know, mom cries. Like, it's like Trevor couldn't put her back to sleep. She wanted mom, and I like picked myself up off the floor. I had mastitis, not to give TMI.
Oh, we have way no boundaries here, girl.
But I was in the throes of like a serious, like feverish craziness. And I was having like out of control chills and stuff. So I was really not feeling well. And I was like, had to pick myself up off the floor, go in the bedroom, and I was like, she wants to nurse, and like the last thing I want to do is nurse the baby right now, and I'm gonna tear up saying it. So I laid down to feed her, and I noticed she put her arms around me and held me and started gently patting me, and she was asleep. She didn't want to nurse. She heard me crying, comforting me until I stopped crying, and then she turned over and fell back asleep. And I,
my sweet baby,
and I just
stop.
It was the sweetest thing. She was just like
so
sad.
Sweet.
Her mom was sad. Yeah,
I mean, like, what a compassionate, like, you forget that kids can be like. I'm not a mom, obviously, again. But, like, you forget that, like, tiny humans can have such, like, big emotions and, like, passion and stuff like that.
Exactly. Mine is literally punching me in my cervix right now. So only reason I'm not crying.
Maybe that's not what your baby is going to be like.
I'm, like, leaning because it hurts so much.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. They're very aware of your emotions, and they are just so special. And that was such a cool moment because I feel like it reminded me that she is a human. She's like growing into big kid, an adult who knows things that are going on around her. And like, it just was one of those moments that like just hit me where I was like, this 16, 17 month old baby knows I am upset and she's trying to take care of me. How can I nurture that in her so that she sees that in the future, that doesn't leave her from being just like a little sweet little girl to like a teenager that doesn't care, you know? Like, how do I keep doing that?
That story, you're going to tell her that story for literally ever. She's like screaming at you before prom. What happened to the little girl?
I'm going to hang it over her head. So never let her forget.
Literally. Parenting 101. Can you wait till I'm a parent?
Oh my God.
Any other mommy questions?
Are you doing okay, by the way?
What?
Are you doing okay?
Yes, I'm okay. It's just like every now and then it's just like a sucker punch to the surface.
When are you due?
December 20th.
Oh, wow. So you still have some time.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll make it to the
20th. Yeah.
But
were you early on time?
I was 1 week early. My husband was 2 weeks early, and he was a full 10 pounds.
And they're both, like, 6 feet tall, so.
And this baby's already 5 pounds, and I'm 33 weeks, so.
Yeah. That was me. And I was 2 weeks past due.
You?
No! Yes.
Oh, my God.
You're like, now she's going to cry. Now you didn't.
Now.
But I mean, this girl was just, like, kickboxing and
literally
so active. And I was like, I'm going to be early. Like, there's no physical way. She was so low. I mean, just I don't know. I wish you luck, girl.
Oh my God.
Best wishes.
No, there's no way.
You just marinate on that, and I'm going to ask her some beauty questions. Yeah. Okay, obviously you love product. You have a shop full of it. What is your, like, morning routine like? And also, if you want to add self-care practices into that, whether that's the same or different to you.
Yeah. Okay, so my number one self-care practice in the morning is closing the door while I get ready.
Yeah!
I have, like, Lily is my mini-me and attached to me at all times. And if I open that door, forget it. Like, I can't do my makeup. I can't do my hair. She grabs my hand and takes me to go play. And then if I can't, then she screams and it's a whole thing. And yeah. So I just keep that door shut and, you know, put my makeup on. In the steam, sometimes I can't see, but it's, you know, being able to, like, get ready head to toe in one, like, fell swoop is the most, like, invigorating and satisfying thing.
Luxury.
It's, like, awful. So, and then my skincare routine right now, I'm just really in love with Earthwise Beauty. They're out of Seattle. She's an herbalist, and, you know, I don't have sensitive skin, but the last, like, 6 months, I have struggled with some breakouts that wouldn't heal. And so I could use lots of our products, help to, like, calm them and soothe them, but, like, getting them to heal and go away, I mean, I was just kind of like, maybe I'm just going to have this for a while. Oh, and her collection has, like, turned my skin around in the most incredible way, and it's glowy and I feel really good about it most of the time.
Okay, it's also, like, one of their products is something like Nap in the Meadow Serum, and I'm like, yeah, check please.
What?
I'll take one of them.
They're amazing.
Absolutely
lovely. That's one of my favorites. It's a really cool product.
What do you use what have you been using for your big breakouts?
Well, so I try to take breakouts from, like, a holistic perspective, so starting with, like, not just, like, a treatment, but cleansing. So I use their cleanser, their toner, the Nap in the Meadow Serum, which is, like, an anti-inflammatory serum. I really, really love it. It's baby blue from the Tansy that's in it. It's gorgeous. And then I use the Yasuni Face Balm, which is has a lot of fruit seed butters in it. And it doesn't exfoliate, but it does sort of exfoliate in the way that it kind of clears up, like, the top layers of the skin. It makes your skin look really, like, dewy. Like, I did, like, a resurfacing mask, but it's my moisturizer, and it's a balm, so it leaves your skin, like, incredibly dewy and supple. It's awesome. And so that's like, my moisturizing routine and cleansing routine. And then for makeup, I have my Gressa foundation, which I always love for just, like, the most beautiful, like, glowy, easy, effortless, pretty strong, like, medium coverage foundation. You can do sheer to full coverage. Cure White Sensuous Plum Lip Tint on my cheeks and my lips. Yes, it's multitasking. And then RMS highlighter on my eyes and Cure White mascara. And, like, I'm, like, good to go with that.
Gorgeous. And you're always so glowy. Oh, I have a question for you. I don't remember. I talk to Becky frequently, so I never know, like, what change. I'm like, did we have this conversation in real life? Did you say it on Instagram? Was it in a blog post? Is this real? But you said somewhere that putting an oil on is not actually moisturizing. It's just locking in the moisture you already have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah, so especially as we move into, like, November, December, hydrating the skin is different than moisturizing the skin. And so oils are, like, all the rage, but if your skin is parched and thirsty and dehydrated, you are not replenishing the water in your skin when you're using an oil. So a lot of our clients come in and they're like, I'm applying my face oil, like, 5 times a day and my skin's still really dry. And that's because you need, like, a water-based moisturizer first, and then you put your oil or your balm on.
So and really it's just locking it in, essentially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Did you? No, I didn't know that, but I don't, I find oils to be, but I always make sure that I have, like, deeply exfoliated before I put an oil on.
Learn something new every day.
But I do mix lotion and oil a lot, too.
Yeah.
Does that do the trick?
Yeah, that can help too as well. If you feel really like you're struggling with dry skin, it's best to like put them on like one at a time. But if it's working for you, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I do like oil drops in my tinted moisturizer in the winter. Mm-hmm.
Smart. Because Casey knows everything about beauty, just so you know, if you need a consultant number. Here, she's right here.
I was in the beauty industry for 7 years before I became a wedding photographer randomly.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, so
she's
cool.
Real smart. Okay, here's more questions for you. So we all know I love, like, my Botox, and I'm slowly getting more into, like, the natural space of beauty and skincare and stuff because I do believe, like, you know, your skin is, like, a pathway into your body and everything like that. So I'm starting slow with the natural deodorant. We talked about that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me about face tools and, like, crystals and like
jade
all that kind of stuff, because like they're really pretty and they feel nice, but like I'm trying to sip the Kool-Aid and I'm not quite there.
So face rollers or guasa, facial massage, facial brushes, all of those tools help increase circulation. Okay. And so with increased circulation, that helps heal like scarring, for example, helps lighten. You're increasing the blood flow to the skin, and anytime you do that, obviously your complexion is going to improve, things are going to heal faster. For under eye bags, for example, if you hold a lot of water in your under eye, it helps that that water move out so your bags aren't so big. Face massage is another great way to help move water out from underneath the eye, because the eyes. Had Julianne from Province Apothecary, and she specializes in facial massage with her hands, not just with tools. She was saying that your eyes drain like towards your tear duct, and so instead of like we're always doing this movement to kind of like increase like toning, but actually to get movement in here and help move some of that draining.
So from the outer eye to the inner eye towards your nose.
Yeah, exactly. And so. Yeah, they for a lot of our clients, it helps them move their moisturizer deeper into the skin, which is going to help improve the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles and plump the skin. They're just amazing tools. I mean, you should use them regularly, definitely. But I've had clients just achieve the most incredible results and not have to, you know, get Botox or other kinds of
things. I hear you.
That are a little bit more intense maybe or even more expensive. I mean, the great thing about these tools is that you purchase it once and then you take it home and you are empowered to do that yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go somewhere else to get
well,
it
done. Well, yeah, also, like, pregnant people can't get Botox, and maybe that'll be my plan when I get pregnant. Roll it all out. I'm just going to be, like, all day, every day, just, like, flattening.
I love the ice roller. It just feels so
yeah, I have that.
Good.
Yeah, I haven't tried an ice roller yet, but I keep
feels
hearing
good.
About it, so I'll have to.
I mean, it's like a...
I just, like, hold it over my eyes.
Yeah, in the morning, I'm, like,
so good.
Double roll.
You gotta roll this way now. You gotta.
Oh, I'm gonna roll in. I'm gonna roll
towards your nose,
like a wing. Okay, I'm good. Okay, let's talk. Okay, do you know who Spencer Pratt is?
Of course.
Where is this going?
So he like loves himself some crystals.
Yeah.
I was like,
no.
So because of Spencer Pratt, like because crystals are like really happening and like all that, I can't take it seriously. But can you tell me like the actual goal of like crystals and everything outside of Spencer Pratt life?
So so this is a funny discussion. I asked our clients what they wanted us to bring into the shop.
Mm.
I try to keep an open ear, and several people said, we want you to have crystals. And I'm not like a healing crystal person.
Okay.
So, but both my husband and I had gem and mineral collections when we were younger, and just the nature of the many of times that we've moved, I've like lost mine. I think I donated mine to my friend's classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But they've always been really a special part of both of our lives. And
cool.
So we were excited when people said that. I was like, well, I'm happy to curate a beautiful collection of airy, you know, soothing crystals. And I'm happy to make these tools that people want to experience available, even if I'm not into healing crystals.
Okay.
I think they're beautiful and you can keep them, you know, in your space and use them however brings you joy or helps you work through things.
Yeah.
For me, I think that they're gorgeous and they've been around a lot longer than I have. And I think in that way that they, you know, are capable of helping us, you know, connect with ourselves.
Okay, I can sip that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
In. Okay. Go to Crystal now.
I was really scared when you said Spencer Pratt.
We're going to put in the show notes this picture of Spencer Pratt and this giant dick-shaped crystal.
Oh,
so I'll share it with y'all.
I know they're trending. My mom was like, they're so hippie when I told her I was bringing them in. I was like, actually, they're kind of having a moment.
Yeah.
They totally are.
But yeah, it's one of
I have some at my desk, but I don't like charge them in the full moon, but I still like them.
Mm-hmm. Can you see what I'm showing you?
Yes.
It's all Spencer Pratt's page. Isn't that crazy?
What is happening?
I'm going to send you.
I'll keep my lips zipped about Spencer Pratt. I'm a Laguna Beach, followed them from
junkie,
the
yeah,
girl, so.
It's coming back.
I know.
Well, The Hills
was my favorite.
Coming back, girl.
Justin Bobby.
Yeah, they're doing like a revival.
Justin Bobby.
Oh my gosh.
Justin Bobby.
I don't know, but now it's too much drama for me. I don't have time for that. When I watch TV, it's like, I just discovered How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, such a good show.
The show is one of the best shows ever.
Yes,
it really is. It's so funny.
It's so good, and they're so sweet, and they're all, like, real problems. I mean, they do it in a lighthearted enough way that it doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah.
But, like, it's such a just easy, happy, sweet show, and I love it. And that, like, I've got enough drama and, stuff going on. I don't need it on TV.
Yeah, we actually spoke.
Robin is one of my favorite TV characters of all time.
Yeah.
When she's smoking the cigarette and doing yoga at the same time, it's like one of my favorite scenes ever.
Balance.
Oh my God.
She is amazing.
I spoke with somebody, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Mimi, but somebody recently said that when they wake up, typically when we talk to people about their morning routines, they're like, I listen to the news or I listen to like a business podcast or something soothing. This girl was like, I watched the Kardashians first thing in the morning. I was like, oh my God.
Yes, get you pumped.
That's a wake-up call.
It's like basically listening to like techno music first thing. So funny. Okay, anyway. Where do you seek advice or mentorship, or what does your support team look like? Let's go down that little foxhole.
Oh my goodness. You know, other business owners, to the extent that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think finding somebody who's a good sounding board, who understands what is like going on in your business, that's the best person to kind of like go through things with, because it's easy enough for me to text my friend and be like, should I do this or should I do this? But they don't know the rest of the, you know, the context. And so I, like, one of my, like, greatest confidants and friends is Sam. She owns the Phoenix, which is actually just a few blocks up the street from us. And she's just a down-to-earth, like, realistic person. And so we go back and forth with each other all the time about, you know, what did you do in this situation? Or what do you think of this? And sometimes you know the answer and you just need someone to validate you. Other times, like, you're stuck and, like, really need to think through something. So, I think she's one of my, like, my favorite people to work with. And then my team, I mean, they know. They're on the floor. They talk to our clients the most. And so I really rely on them to kind of give me the truth and the lowdown. So it's, if I ever have a question, like, do I think this would be the right move for the shop or whatever? And I'm trying to understand what clients are feeling. They've got their finger on the pulse a little bit better than I do sometimes, just because they get to talk to them and people ask them questions and I don't hear all of that.
Right.
So having a team that is, you know, excited to be there and willing to listen and that is so key.
What do people typically ask you for advice?
Oh, goodness. You know, I get so many questions on Instagram, and that's the primary way I get to communicate with our community right now. And I get everything from, like, what product would you recommend to where should I go for this service? to, you know, I'm pregnant, what would you suggest for this? Mm-hmm. And so it's huge, huge range of things. And then our clients in the shop just, I mean, they are so excited and so interested, and they, it's like everything. Everything gets brought up at the shop. I swear. There's
it's like a little therapist office.
Yeah.
For your face. Okay, two more business questions, and then I'll return to my normally scheduled programming. What is something that you love in your day-to-day, even though I'm sure no 2 days are the same?
So Lily just started giving me kisses.
Aww. Is it the big open mouth licky kind?
No, they're like, they. It, that's what it was, just like open mouth slobber for a long time. But the thing is, she's like really, she's not free with her kisses. Like,
it has to be
a special moment. And when she'll like wrap her arms around my neck to give me a hug, and I'll say, can mommy have a kiss? And she literally like, thinks about it for a second.
Oh my god.
And then gives me a kiss.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
When I get one, I'm like, yes, like, she loves me.
Aw, that's so cute.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
I hope she keeps that quality her whole life, you know?
Let me think about this, boy.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So, that's one of my favorite things. And then connecting. Connecting with our clients, that'll always be something that just brings me so much joy, and something that I really value, that like they know, like when they message me on Instagram, they're like, hey Becky, like they know
it's
and so I think just always being able to like check in and look at messages and having like the sweetest little, you know, question or message or suggestion from our clients is just, that's another highlight.
Love it.
And you're so active on stories, and I feel like what was it like being an introvert and like putting your face, because I feel like that's really hard for some people who are like true introverts but they own their own business, to put their face in front of their business. What was that like process for you?
Yeah, it took me a while to get into stories, to be honest with you. I kind of thought it was like Snapchat, which, like, that was not ever something I could get down with. I had it, but only because somebody, like, asked me to download it to send it to them or something, you know. It was, but now, like I said, I mean, I'm in a conversation. And so I don't feel self-conscious about being on stories. It's just like I'm talking to anyone in person. And so I try not to do too many like videos and stuff of me, and like I don't want to bug people, but I think that, you know, maintaining the knowledge that I am there and it really is me, and if you have questions or want to engage in a conversation, like never like think that you can't message me, but that's why I try to do stories as frequently as possible. So yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. But Snapchat bothers me. Does Snapchat still exist? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think it's made a pretty big impact on your business that you put your face in front of your business?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Don't be afraid, peoples.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
But embrace it.
Yeah,
embracing it is a good one. And I am not, like I said, I've never been a very trendy person, and so I always feel like I'm behind the times. We just launched our YouTube channel yesterday.
Woo-hoo!
So like I can be a little slow to adopt these like hip trendy things.
Better,
and that's something that I'm always trying to work on, is
sure.
I'm like, just embrace it, try something new.
For sure. I mean, that's always good advice, and it's always so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
What is a challenge that you're currently going through in the business?
A challenge we're currently going through in the business. I think that a challenge is that as we kind of try to decide what is next for us, mm-hmm. balancing that with opportunities and what we see our future being is just that's like the vaguest question, like what's next is basically our challenges. But it is, I mean, it's really like, you know, we're trying to listen to people and take their feedback as well as have our vision of kind of what our future looks like and packaging that in a way that makes sense as a business. You know, it's so much fun. So it's like a challenge is not always bad. I mean, it's really cool. But I think that's one of our biggest challenges right now is really trying to get a handle on where we're going to go.
Makes total sense to me. Is there something right now that you're totally obsessed with that you recently discovered by any chance? Does not have to be in the beauty space or skincare or whatever, or it can be.
Yes, so the Yasumi face balm.
That's the one.
Very obsessed with. And then Nut Pods.
Nut Pods!
In like dairy-free creamer.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So many people are talking about those.
Yes, it's really good. Hazelnut is my favorite, or the unflavored. I think I don't like the French vanilla flavor, but it's unsweetened, and so it's nice because I've never found a vegan creamer that I thought tasted good. It is like, it's so good. I mean, it's just like very yummy. It doesn't taste like coconut either. So,
does it get
it really does give you
That's true
creamer experience.
Yeah.
So,
I also love to say Nut Pods.
I hate to say it.
I love it. I'm going to text you every day and be like, have you had your Nut Pods today?
I was going to say like I'm into like compassion right now. But I thought Nut Pods might be a more tangible takeaway.
I think your little daughter has enough compassion for the episode. So. Well, you kind of answered us. Any notes on, like, what's next for you and Take Care?
Well, we just announced our fall fete. So it's our annual fall party on the 16th.
Okay.
And we are going to have so much fun. I'll be back in town for that whole weekend, which I'm really excited for. And we just launched our YouTube channel. So, you know, we're really, really just working on trying to be as helpful and forward-thinking as possible. So...
All right, where can the people find you on the internet?
At Take Care Shop DC on Instagram and takecareshopdc.com on our website.
Awesome. Any other questions?
Cool. No, I don't think so.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Much fun. I hope that she eases up on you.
Oh, thank you.
We'll see. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. You guys, thanks so much for joining us in the Foxhole. For exclusive content and super fun offers like discounts and promo codes, sign up for our email list on our website at godownthefoxhole.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at GoDownTheFoxhole.
And please, please, if you love this episode, leave us a review on iTunes.
Thanks, bye.